Mr. President, I've heard many of my colleagues today discussing my remarks on this administration's go-it-alone policy in Iraq. This administration and my colleagues across the aisle are trying to deflect attention away from the administration's failed policy in Iraq. For the sake of our troops, it's time for this administration to speak honestly about its failures in Iraq. Many Americans share my views, and I regret that the President considers them uncivil and not in the national interest. The real action that was not in the American interest was the decision to go to war unilaterally, without the support of our allies, and without a plan to win the peace. There's no question that the White House see political advantage in the war. You can see it in Karl Rove's speeches to Republican strategists. And just this morning, the New York Times reports that the White House goal is to show substantial improvement in Iraq before next fall's re-election campaign. And you can see it in the way they attack the patriotism of those who question them. There are valid questions and deep concerns about the administration's rush to war in Iraq, its rationale, whether there's a plan for winning the peace and how the money is being spent, and when our troops can come home with honor. Our troops, their families, and the American people deserve answers, not more politics as usual. The administration had no plan for Iraq, and it shows. American servicemen and women are paying with their lives. The President's trip to the United Nations this week, this morning, is now the most important journey of his administration, but it didn't have to be this way. The situation in Iraq is out of control, and American troops are paying the price every day with their lives. We have now lost more troops since the President declared an end to major combat than during the war itself. The administration says it has an international coalition, but it's paper thin. America has 85% of all the coalition troops on the ground, and we're taking 85% of the casualties. This administration is muddling through day by day, while the lives of our soldiers are at risk and their families worry here at home. The administration has been unwilling so far to make the compromises needed at the United Nations to obtain the support our troops need to ease their burden and bring stability and peace to Iraq. The American people want to know from President Bush, when can their sons and daughters, their husbands and wives, their fathers and mothers return from Iraq with dignity, having fulfilled their mission? The White House may be saying things are going well, and we should stay the course. But the American people know that major changes in policy are essential. We need a plan from the administration, a real plan, before we write an $87 billion blank check to pay for this administration's hollow policy in Iraq. Terrorists are sabotaging the reconstruction efforts, lashing out in every way they can. U.S. casualties continue to rise. The headquarters of the United Nations was devastated by a truck bomb that specifically targeted and killed the U.N.'s highly respected chief representative in Baghdad. Nothing is sacred. A key Shiite cleric was assassinated in the bombing of a mosque, and even the Jordanian embassy in Baghdad was bombed, in an ominous message to other nations in the Middle East who cooperate with the U.S. Terrorists are said to be streaming into Iraq to take advantage of the new breeding ground that our failed policy has given them. President Bush has asked Congress to provide $87 billion more in the coming year to set it right in Iraq, but it's essentially a blank check. He says he'll internationalize this conflict, but he doesn't want to share power on the ground. The administration has a brilliant plan to fight the war, but no plan to win the peace. It had a brilliant plan to overthrow a government, but no plan to deliver on the promise of democracy. The American people are confused about why we fought this war and what our strategy is for winning the peace. Last fall, the President said that Iraq was developing nuclear weapons. The justification was Iraq's link. Then it was the justification for Iraq's link to al-Qaeda. None of these are true. No one doubts that Saddam Hussein was an evil dictator. But what was the imminent threat to our national security? The administration's rationale was built on a quicksand of false assumptions. In terms of how we will win the peace, the administration also seems confused. The Secretary of State has argued that additional time is needed to establish a new government in Iraq. A few weeks ago, he said, it'll be some time before any new government could take over the responsibilities inherent in being in charge of security. But Secretary Rumsfeld, in an effort to assure that we are not getting bogged down, says that things are moving at a very, very rapid pace in Iraq. Which is it? These and other facts lead the American people to question whether the administration has an effective plan to share the security burden with the international community, reduce the burden on our troops, and deliver on the promise of democracy. The American people deserve the answers. How will the administration obtain a broader international mandate through the United Nations to bring in other countries' troops and provide a greater role for the United Nations in the political development and reconstruction of Iraq? How many additional troops are needed to prevent the sabotage undermining the reconstruction? What nation will supply troops? What is the estimate of the duration of the U.S. military occupation and the likely levels of U.S. and foreign troops required for security? What is the estimate of the total cost of security and reconstruction, including the likely amount of international contributions? What is the schedule for restoring electricity and water and other basic services to the Iraqi people? And what is the schedule for the deployment of Iraqi police and Iraq armed forces? And what is the long-term schedule for the withdrawal of foreign and American armed forces? The administration must answer these questions and provide a credible long-term plan for Iraq. We can't afford to continue our failed strategy of making it up day by day as we go along when our soldiers are paying for it with their lives. We all hope that the window to peace will stay open. If it closes, history will have no mercy. It will say that this is how we went to war against Iraq for the wrong reason and lost the war on terrorism. That's the precipice we now stand on. The administration needs to show the American people and the world a plausible plan to correct this colossal failure in our policy. In addressing the United Nations, the President should have taken responsibility for his administration's mistakes in going to war without the broad support of the international community. We need to involve the United Nations in a meaningful way in the transition in Iraq. Our policy cannot be all take and no give. The President should work with the United Nations as long as it takes to get an agreement to help our troops and bring stability in Iraq. Our troops are doing their jobs in Baghdad. Now President Bush must do his job in New York.